Hello, everyone. glad to be here. PhD students, University of Minnesota, major in horticulture. Sorry for my sore throat. Long travel. So today I'll talk about inhibition of flowering in Gladiolus vista, Gladiolus exhibitus, using G inhibitors. So just a background. So Gladiolus is a major cut flower in the worldwide, and it's actually a member in Ariidaceae. And there's over 10,000 cultivars. That's why it's just easily to be hybridized. That's why it's called hybridous, because there's a lot of hybrids. It can be generated from specific hybrids. So look into the corm structure. Gladiolus is actually has an underground stem compressed called a corm. That corm actually, when you plant it, it's actually the mother corm. So as you can see in here, this is the mother corm. If you plant this one, it's going to sprout, and there's going to be a daughter corm above it. That's this one. This is the mother. And in addition, there's going to have cormels, which is a small one. Just think of it like grandchildren. As you can see, this is the mother corm at the later uplifting and harvesting the corm. And in here, the daughter corm. And in addition, we have cormels. So the number of cormels vary among cultivars and genotype. And it's actually the essence of the method of vegetative propagation. So the corm size varies among cultivars. The smallest one you can have in the market is actually 1 centimeter in diameter, all the way to jumbo, which is over 5 centimeter. As you can see, there's like over 3 inch in size. This is our breeding program. In University of Minnesota, we have like leader large corms, jumbo ones. And the reason why they're like so valuable is that you can sell them at higher prices, and they ensure actually flowering. So the bigger the corm, the higher chance it's going to flower, and as well as going to generate a longer stalk with many florets. So talking more to the research side, so we're going to talk about gibberellin inhibitor. So first of all, what's gibberellin? Gibberellin is a plant growth regulator. It's actually involved in seed germination, stem elongation, as well as fruit expansion. While gibberellin inhibitors, it's actually a plant growth retardant. It's actually reduce the height of plants and can be used as a height control in potted plants in horticulture. As you can see in here, there's the higher concentration you add in gibberellin inhibitors, the shorter and more dwarf, it's actually become more compact. So flower scheme in geophytes, so we know that flower scheme in Arabidopsis is the model plants. And in geophyte, there is actually pretty studied. That's why gibberellin is actually one of the players in flowering in Arabidopsis. We know that gibberellin actually promotes LFY and SOC1, which they actually upregulate and trigger Mads box with their flowering genes. But in Gladiolus and other geophytes, it's actually poorly studied. We know that actually it does play a part, but how's that going on? It's just poorly studied. So we know that it's playing a part, and exogenous application of G actually promote flowering in certain cultivars. So the next plant growth regulators is epsic acid, EVA. It's actually, it's induced dormancy in seed and actually as well as bud. It potentially acts as inhibitor to GA, and it's actually involved in signaling in plant under water stress. And it also inhibits shoot growth. In addition to that, it's actually involved in tuberization in potato. So let's talk more about that. So what's tuberization? Tuberization is the formation of tuber in potato. And that is, it's actually initiated upon flowering in potato by starting with ABA and other transcriptional factors. They're going to trigger the synthesis of AGPAs, which is the enzyme that involves starch accumulation in the potato. And the interesting part is that we know that there is ABA in Gladiolus. We know there is ABA actually produced during senescence and upon dormancy. And just last year, they actually discovered that AGPA is actually found in Gladiolus. So all these factors there, we can hypothesize that the tuberization model in potato is somewhat similar to the Gladiolus. And upon that, maybe we can actually tweak and actually promote the tuberization in gladiolus, which is increasing the chromel production. That's why the gladiolus growers actually seek a method to increase the number of chromels, because some cultivars actually values more than others. Some cultivars are more susceptible, so that we have to produce more chromels actually to ensure that lines. As I said, there's over 10,000, but a lot of them have been lost over years. So look into that to the objective. Like, we want actually to increase the number of chromels in gladiolus using ABA as a method for that. And as well, we want to increase the chrome size using GA inhibitors. So we know that GA is involved in flowering. So inhibiting that, potentially getting hypothesis, we're going to increase the size of corms in there. Because we know that flowering is an intensive process that wastes energy of the plants. And there is, in geophyte, there is technically two sink, the flower and the geophyte part. So if we eliminate the flowering part, the sink will go down. That's what we're going down to the source. That's why this hypothesis is going. So the material methods we're doing, we're actually applying GA inhibitors. We're going to use commercial GA inhibitors such as Arist and Piccolo. We had four concentrations, zero control, 10, 100, and 400 ppm. We had also as ABA concentration, 25, 50, 100, and 500 micromolar. And we had mixed concentration with them. We soaked them 24 hours, allow full absorption for that, and we completely randomized them in a greenhouse condition. So the result is projected here during senescence, because in here, as you can see, that's the control. This is the highest concentration of GA inhibitors. All of them usually should be senescence, growing to dormancy, but the highest concentration is just growing finally. It doesn't want a senescence. As well here in range as 400 ppm, it still want to grow, it still want to stay there. It's resistant senescence, and that's like one of the typical symptoms when you add GA inhibitors. It depends on how much you add in there and concentration duration as well. While in ABA we have slight reduction as the more you add concentration, but the combination of ABA and GA inhibitors did not give us much effect. It's like something like milder between them compared to the control as well. So look into the numbers and stats in here. It's like, just bear with me, it's this big table. So we have Piccolo and Aris at 400 ppm. That's the highest concentration compared to the control. It's the lowest in height, significant difference. It's actually prevented the flowering. You know, I just let it there. It did not flower all the time. And the number of chromels, it just went one, because GA inhibitors reduces that compared to the control, which just reduces 46.5 in mean number of chromels. Looking at the ABA, what's the interesting part that it actually increased the number of chromels, 79 mean compared to the control. So that's indicate that ABA may able to help promoting in chromel production. So I tried to replicate with that with different cultivars. I use Amsterdam and Panorama, as well as University of Minnesota breeding program germplasm. As you can see, this is our breeding program germplasm with Panorama. So start with Panorama. The more you add in GA inhibitors, of course, it's going to allow the plant to be retarded in height. As in here, this is 400 ppm, this is 100, and this is control. So the 100 ppm and 400 inhibits flowering while the control just flowered. To look more closely, GA inhibitors at 400 ppm, if you just look at it, you might even easily mistaken it's just like a succulent. It's just thick and just high in colorphane content. More closely, if you look at the leaf width, it's going to be the highest. It's like over 5 centimeter, 0.1, because it's actually expanding. And it's more like expanding in the width of the leaf than just the height. Looking at the different during the line, actually, they're able to flower even for 400 ppm. As you can see in here, the control, 100 and 400 ppm, all of them flowered regardless of the concentration. The only difference you have is the height. So it's at 400 ppm, and this breeding line actually reduce the height. It could be inhibited with higher concentration. Look at the flower potential of other different cultivar compared to commercial line. Amsterdam, it reduces height, while the breeding line, it's slightly reducing height, no significant difference. It's actually flowering here, flowering there as well, controlled. With treatment, there's no flowering, but surprise, surprise, that in Amsterdam, it's actually not able to flower because there is no actually potential flowering there. While in our breeding line, this thickness, this actually indicates that the anthers is inside, it's going to emerge. You know, it's going to be like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's going to merge out. So this is more of the morphological indication that you know that it's going to flower or not. So this line going to flower, the others not, to summarize it. So what's the use of that in floriculture? Well, as you can see, we actually can produce dwarf gladiolus potted in commercial market. So these are our University of Minnesota breeding line for dwarf gladiolus. As you can see, they're dwarf and compact. They're suitable for potted production. While this is at 400 ppm, gladiolus, they're somewhat similar that can be used. This is like more genetic versus the BGR application to achieve the same common goal. As well, we're trying to increase the cornmeal production, so farmers able to do that. So to summarize, in overall of all the common cultivars, as you can see there, control versus 400 ppm, the range of heights, range of flowering or not potential, so that it's highly indicate that concentration can vary between cultivars. To conclude, we know that 400 ppm G inhibitors can inhibit flowering at certain cultivars, so we're trying to, it's still ongoing research. So we're going to measure the number of the weight and the size of the comb upon harvesting it and planting it in the next cycle. Because if it's a big comb, it means that it's going to be ensure flowering. So it skip one cycle, it not flower, but will it flower next cycle? Will it flower even better than control? And the second thing is that we know that G inhibitors, such as in Cyclocell, commercial G inhibitors, applying Cyclocell actually promotes flowering in azalea and hibiscus. So G inhibitors, you know, varies among species, allowing it to promote flowering or not. And the last thing that we know that ABA slightly reduce height, but also increase cornmeal production and at 100 micromolar. So we're going to further investigate the number of cornmeals with other different cultivars. So with that, I would like to thank University of Minnesota for Department of Horticulture for providing all that, and as well sponsor Minnesota Nursery Landscape Association and Great University, where they funded my PhD study. Thank you. Questions? That's a good question. I'm currently actually doing that experiment, short period and long period experiments. Will they flower or not, and how that will affect in the cornmeal production? So stay tuned. So you're asking that.
You're looking at the whether or not the end product of the flower type is a flower
headed
petal
on,
right?
Yeah.
You could stop areas that might look before that.
Yes.
I've seen some things where you get an initiation, but you never see the flower because the environmental conditions after that initiation prevent the flower from developing.
Exactly.
So
basically, I know for sure that in gladiolus, two-leaf structure, there's still nothing there. When it's actually have three-leaf structure, this is where you actually can observe the flower meristem actually start developing. So whether or not it will be going to that direction to flower or not, that should be more anatomical section for that, and it could be further included in the research. Thanks. Questions?